Good morning, everyone. It is good to be together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. For those gathered here, for those online, we worship a risen Savior. This is the season of Lent, and during Lent is a time for us to pause, time for us to repent, reflect solemnly on our sinfulness. As we anticipate, as we prepare to celebrate the resurrection on Easter morning. So it is a somber time, but one that is filled with hope, knowing that Jesus Christ, yes, died and then rose again from the dead. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for your love for us and sending Jesus first to the earth, O Lord God, and then to the cross. Thank you, Lord, that death could not hold him. That by your power, O God, he rose from the dead. And as he ascended, he now reigns at your right hand, Father God, and we await his return to gather us together, to bring us to our eternal home. Oh, Lord God, we can't wait. I pray this morning that you would open our eyes and our ears as we have sung, that we would see and hear you, Lord Jesus. Whether it's that we need to be renewed in our faith in you, oh, Lord God, whether it is that we have heard about you but have never yet put our faith in you yet, Lord God, or whether we're just continue to need the encouragement to walk with you, Lord. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, open our eyes and ears? We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 12, as Michael was announcing and talking during the worship time about some of the songs that we get from this passage and saying that, you know, we're still in the book of John, one of my children leaned over to me and said, "You're still in John?" I said, "Only halfway through, buddy. We got a ways to go here." I said, "Is it the longest book in the Bible?" Nope. Anyways, well, that's hot. This morning we will be reading from verse 20 to 36 in the Gospel of John. There's a turning point that's going to happen here as Jesus has come in through his what was then a triumphal entry, which we will celebrate on Palm Sunday. Jesus now is going to talk about and predict his death. John chapter 12, beginning in verse 20. "Now, among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, 'Sir, we wish to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had been thunder. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So the crowd answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. This is God's word. In this passage, Jesus predicts his death. He points to his coming death and speaks of it in ways that are surprising to the crowd. The passage starts off in an interesting way where there are some people identified as Greeks and they want to see Jesus in verses 20 and 22. Now, they weren't not necessarily from Greece. They could have been with the Greek Empire here before the Roman Empire. Many people were considered Greeks, and a lot of times they would be called Greeks or Gentiles if they weren't Jewish. So they could be any nationality. We don't really know. But it's interesting that they come first to Philip, and then Philip goes to Andrew with this question, can we see Jesus? It's worded not in a question. It says, we want to see Jesus, right? Now, don't necessarily know why. They have probably heard of Jesus. There are some Gentile Greek cities around Israel. They may have heard of Jesus. Maybe they were from the Decapolis where Jesus had cast out legion from the man there, and they went into the pigs. So they've heard of Jesus in some way. But it's interesting to me, they say, we want to see Jesus. Remember, one of the things that has been going on throughout the book of John is this not a formula per se, but this come and see and follow, right? Jesus invites people and his disciples, other people invite other people to say, come and see Jesus and follow him. And so we have that again here. Now the Greeks, they come, they want to see Jesus. And Jesus later in this passage is going to talk about, if you want to be my disciples, you must follow me. So it's again these themes in the book of John. What a wonderful way to think about it too. Come to Jesus. See him. And in seeing, believe and show our belief by committing to follow him. For he is good. So they come and they ask, and you know, we don't know why they asked Philip. While Philip and Andrew are Jewish, they have Greek names, so it's possible that that's why they went to them. We don't know. But they go to Jesus, and they bring him this, again, question that's stated in our text as a sentence. But Jesus, there are some Greek folks here, and they want to see you. And Jesus does what he does so often, right? He doesn't answer the question. He doesn't even address, that's it, the Greeks are done. They drop out of the whole passage now. We don't know what happened to him. So, what does that tell us? It tells us that that's not the point, right? The conversation, if there was one, probably was, I'm speculating, between the Greeks and Jesus isn't the point of this passage. Interestingly here, in verses 23 to 27, Jesus now says it's his time to die. And we look at verse 23, and it says, and Jesus answered them. Isn't that interesting? It's not that he's ignoring them. It's not that he didn't hear them. It's not that he's blowing off their question. That's their question. Can we see Jesus, the Greeks? And Jesus answers them, answers the question. And here's how he answers it. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Now, in that, he is speaking, as he will go on to show, that he's talking about his death and resurrection, both of them together, right? He goes in and describes, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it can't bring forth life. But when it does, it multiplies. But it must die in order for there to be life. And he's showing that about himself. To be glorified, he is going to die and then be raised again from the dead. And this is how he's describing, or how he's answering their question. Now, interestingly, I believe it's three times so far in the book of John, people have come up and asked him questions, and they wanted him to do something. You want to come on up to Jerusalem for the feast. And he says, my time has not yet come. It's not time yet. It's not time for me to go, and you don't even know what you're asking me, but I know that when my time comes, that means I'm going to go to the cross for you and my love for you, and then be raised again from the dead, conquering death and sin. But now he says, my time has come. The hour is here. It's not explained, but something with the Greek people asking to see Jesus, there is something now where Jesus knows the time has come. The time has come, and so he talks about and predicts his death. In doing so, he also then calls us to give up our lives for him. Says, whoever loves his life here will lose it. Whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He's not here saying that we should hate our lives or hate ourselves. Nothing about that at all. He's saying, if we love what's here more than we love Jesus, well, I think heaven's going to be really awful for you if that's what you think about, right? If our dreams of heaven are like an extended vacation where there is no Jesus, that's a horrible place. It's to be with Jesus, for he is our treasure, our joy, and why we should dwell on him. And in this passage, to dwell on, that's what we're doing right now. We're dwelling on who Jesus is and how much he loves us. He loves us so much that he would rather go to the cross for us than see us die and perish. I know life is hard. I know it gets confusing. I know bad things happen. I know, and I don't know why. Sometimes it's clear, we make a bad choice. Sometimes it's just that there's sin in the world. Sometimes it's not because of that. Sometimes there's no explanation why. And so I need constantly from God's word and from each of you to be reminded and to hold up before myself who God is, who he is. And who he declares himself to be in the scriptures is more real. Is that a phrase? Can you say more real? I don't think so. Is more real than what I see, what I feel, what I'm experiencing. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Because they're so powerful, our experiences. My experiences don't dictate who God is, the truth of who God is. God is, remember, the way, the truth, and the life. And so I want to constantly be reminded that, to reorder my understanding towards him, even when it's confusing. Well, Jesus then goes on, and we, as he has prayed to the Father, the Father now speaks, and God the Father is glorified. Verses 28 to 33. Jesus then prays to the Father and says, what should I do? Should I say, save me from this hour? No, for this purpose I've come to this hour. And his desire then, in verse 28, Father, glorify your name. His whole being, and I know it gets confusing with the Trinity, doesn't it? gets confusing here. God is three in one, three in one, right? Get the donut man? God is three in one. Well, that old classic theologian, the donut man. The Father says, Jesus prays that the Father would be glorified. Would be meaning that his glory, his goodness and majesty would shine, would radiate across all of creation. That we would all be able to see the true nature, the love, the beauty, the kindness, the justice of God. And God answers audibly to Jesus and the crowd and says, I have glorified my name and I will glorify my name. Now, he has glorified his name throughout all of history. Throughout all of his creation, he has glorified his name. He glorified his name when Jesus was born. Remember, the angels burst forth to declare the glory of God. He's been glorified through the stars. The Psalms declare that too, right? That the stars, that all of creation magnifies the name of God. He is glorified through all of it. But now it's going to be the culmination of his glory. When Jesus, and he puts it together here, he doesn't separate this here. Jesus is putting together his death and his resurrection. And in that, God is glorified. That's why it's wonderful if we can have, I know it can be difficult when we have Christmas and Easter over and over every year. And there is a possibility that we lose some of the majesty of things. But I pray, Lord, I pray right now too that you would give us a sense of the mystery, the wonder of your death and resurrection, Lord, this Easter. To really be able to dwell that he died for us. And that God raised him from the dead, showing that he is God. That God has been glorified and will be glorified. Well, then Jesus closes this passage in verses 34 and 36 by saying that he will be lifted up. And this way he's describing in a way his death. What his death is going to be like, right? He's literally going to be lifted up onto a cross is the way that he is going to die. But it also points to, if you remember, back under Moses, when the people rebelled and there was, with the golden calves, right? And they had to grind it up the golden calves, put it in water, drink it, and they got sick, right? That was part of their punishment. And then God instructed Moses to make a bronze snake and put it up on a stick and lift it up, and everyone who looked at it would be cured. Well, that image is used throughout the scriptures for what Jesus does in dying on the cross for us, that he is lifted up as the object to which we must come and see and follow, which means believe, faith, trust, hope, that we come and see and follow him as he's lifted up on the cross, that we would be healed, not just of some poison, but of the cancer of sin that separates us from God. The broken relationship that we have with God is healed when we look at Jesus who is lifted up. Well, Jesus then concludes by calling us, by making an offer to us, by just earnestly exhorting. You can read in his words just a heartfelt passion. He says, look, the light, meaning himself. Remember, Jesus is the light of the world. The light is only going to be here a little longer. He's talking about himself. He's going to die. And then when he raises again from the dead, he's going back to heaven. So the light here tangibly will only be for a little longer, and then it will be darkness. And so come and see and follow me, Jesus calls. Come and walk in the light, not in the darkness. While you have the light, verse 36, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. That's his invitation to us, his call to us. Jesus is eternal, so he is here today, right now, calling us to himself, who is the light, that we would follow him and believe in the light, that we may become the children of God. His call to us is to come and follow and believe in the light. We don't walk by sight, because that's like walking in darkness. Can't see. But instead, we walk by faith, by believing in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you. It feels so strange to say thank you for dying for us, for taking on the punishment. Thank you, Lord. And we give such praise, and we, with our mouths and our bodies and our spirits, we magnify the glory of God. We magnify your name, Lord, that you raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that he is our Savior, he is God. And I pray that you would awaken each one of us, open our eyes and our ears, that we would see and hear the light of the world and believe in you, Lord Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.